Letters on Yoga, Volume 1, by Sri Aurobindo. An excerpt from Section 4, Reason, Science, and Yoga. European metaphysical thought, even in those thinkers who try to prove or explain the existence and nature of God, or of the Absolute, does not, in its method and result, go beyond the intellect. But the intellect is incapable of knowing the supreme truth. It can only range about seeking for truth and catching fragmentary representations of it, not the thing itself, and trying to piece them together. Mind cannot arrive at truth. It can only make some constructed figure that tries to represent it, or a combination of figures. At the end of European thought, therefore, there must always be agnosticism, declared or implicit. Intellect, if it goes sincerely to its own end, has to return and give this report: I cannot know. There is, or at least it seems to me, that there may be, or even must be, something beyond, some ultimate reality. But about its truth, I can only speculate. It is either unknowable or cannot be known by me. Or, if it has received some light on the way from what is beyond it, it can say, too, there is perhaps a consciousness beyond mind. For I seem to catch glimpses of it and even to get intimations from it. If that is in touch with the beyond, or if it is itself the consciousness of the beyond, and you can find some way to reach it, then this something can be known, but not otherwise. Any seeking of the supreme truth through intellect alone must end either in agnosticism of this kind, or else in some intellectual system or mind-constructed formula. There have been hundreds of these systems and formulas, and there can be hundreds more. But none can be definitive. Each may have its value for the mind. And different systems, with their contrary conclusions, can have an equal appeal to intelligence of equal power and competence. All this labor of speculation has its utility in training the human mind, in helping to keep before it the idea of something beyond and ultimate towards which it must turn. But the intellectual reason can only point vaguely or feel gropingly towards it, or try to indicate partial and even conflicting aspects of its manifestation here. It cannot enter into it and know it. As long as we remain in the domain of the intellect only, an impartial pondering over all that has been thought and sought after, a constant throwing up of ideas, of all the possible ideas, and the formation of this or that philosophical belief, opinion, or conclusion, is all that can be done. This kind of disinterested search after truth would be the only possible attitude for any wide and plastic intelligence. But any conclusion so arrived at would be only speculative. It could have no spiritual value. It would not give the decisive experience or the spiritual certitude for which the soul is seeking. If the intellect is our highest possible instrument and there is no other means of arriving at superphysical truth, then a wise and large agnosticism must be our ultimate attitude. Things in the manifestation may be known to some degree, but the supreme and all that is beyond the mind must remain forever unknowable. It is only if there is a greater consciousness beyond mind, and that consciousness is accessible to us, that we can know and enter into the ultimate reality. Intellectual speculation, logical reasoning as to whether there is or is not such a greater consciousness, cannot carry us very far. What we need is a way to get the experience of it, to reach it, enter into it, live in it. If we can get that, intellectual speculation and reasoning must fall necessarily into a very secondary place, and even lose their reason for existence. Philosophy, intellectual expression of the truth, may remain, but mainly as a means of expressing this greater discovery and as much of its contents as can at all be expressed in mental terms to those who still live in the mental intelligence. In the East, especially in India, the metaphysical thinkers have tried, as in the West, to determine the nature of the highest truth by the intellect. But in the first place, they have not given mental thinking the supreme rank as an instrument in the discovery of truth, but only a secondary status. The first rank has always been given to spiritual intuition and illumination and spiritual experience. An intellectual conclusion that contradicts this supreme authority is held invalid. Secondly, each philosophy has armed itself with a practical way of reaching to the supreme state of consciousness, so that even when one begins with thought, the aim is to arrive at a consciousness beyond mental thinking. Each philosophical founder, as also those who continued his work or school, has been a metaphysical thinker, doubled with a yogi. Those who were only philosophic intellectuals were respected for their learning, but never took rank as truth discoverers. And the philosophies that lacked a sufficiently powerful means of spiritual experience died out and became things of the past, because they were not dynamic for spiritual discovery and realization. In the West, it was just the opposite that came to pass. Thought, intellect, the logical reason, came to be regarded more and more as the highest means and even the highest end. In philosophy, thought is the be-all and the end-all. It is by intellectual thinking and speculation that the truth is to be discovered. Even spiritual experience has been summoned to pass the test of the intellect, if it is to be held valid. Just the reverse of the Indian position. Even those who see that the mental thought must be overpassed and admit a supramental other do not seem to escape from the feeling that it must be through mental thought, sublimating and transmuting itself, that this other truth must be reached and made to take the place of the mental limitation and ignorance. And again, Western thought has ceased to be dynamic. It has sought after a theory of things, not after realization. It was still dynamic amongst the ancient Greeks, but for moral and aesthetic rather than spiritual ends. Later on, it became yet more purely intellectual and academic. It became intellectual speculation only, without any practical ways and means for the attainment of the truth by spiritual experiment, spiritual discovery, a spiritual transformation. If there were not this difference, there would be no reason for seekers to turn to the East for guidance. For in the purely intellectual field, the Western thinkers are as competent as any Eastern sage. It is the spiritual way, the road that leads beyond the intellectual levels, the passage from the outer being to the inmost self, which has been lost by the over-intellectuality of the mind of Europe. Yoga is not a thing of ideas, but of inner spiritual experience. Merely to be attracted to any set of religious or spiritual ideas does not bring with it any realization. Yoga means a change of consciousness. A mere mental activity will not bring a change of consciousness. It can only bring a change of mind. And if your mind is sufficiently mobile, it will go on changing from one thing to another till the end, without arriving at any sure way or any spiritual harbor. The mind can think and doubt and question and accept and withdraw its acceptance, make formations and unmake them, pass decisions and revoke them, judging always on the surface and by surface indications, and therefore never coming to any deep and firm experience of truth. But by itself, it can do no more. There are only three ways by which it can make itself a channel or instrument of truth. Either it must fall silent in the self and give room for a wider and greater consciousness, or it must make itself passive to an inner light and allow that light to use it as a means of expression. Or else, it must itself change from the questioning intellectual superficial mind it now is to an intuitive intelligence, a mind of vision fit for the direct perception of the divine truth. If you want to do anything in the path of yoga, you must fix once for all what way you mean to follow. It's no use setting your face towards the future and then always looking back towards the past. In this way, you will arrive nowhere. If you are tied to your past, return to it and follow the way you then choose. But if you choose this way instead, you must give yourself to it single-mindedly and not look back at every moment.